At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Hey, here we go. It's a Monday. And we have an outstanding guest in studio, my friend, the former police chief, City of St. Cloud. Blair Anderson is in studio to tackle a number of topics, including police topics. You can always text on the Lindsey Brown talk and text lines. What a shock. Harrigan's off again. I mean, my God, it's hard to keep track when Harrigan actually works here. So Lindsey's here. Susie apparently is off, too. So you heard Mark Fry. My friend Blair is here, and I see Blair, he's on the cover of Business Central magazine, looking dapper. You've lost some weight. You're fit. Normally when people are on a magazine, they lose weight. They're getting ready to run for political office. So let's make some news right here. I will vote for you for any office you run for. Let's make news. Blair Anderson is running for what office?
Chad, we've been through this many times.
I know.
I am smart enough to not run for office. So dog catcher, maybe. I don't even think they have those anymore.
Lindsey, do we have dog catchers? Is there a number to call for the dog catcher?
I feel like those were cut in with Doge.
Yeah, Doge took those out.
Yeah, Chad, no thank you.
Yeah.
No thank you.
No, I don't want you to either because I like you too much.
I don't need the stress.
We're going to get to a number of important issues, but how many years are we now since you decided I had enough? I served a number of cities. I've been a part of helping people out. I want to do something different. How many years are we at now?
Boy, Chad, it goes fast. 3.5.
That's what I was going to guess.
November of 2022.
Okay.
I retired the last day of November, and I don't know where the time went except for on the golf course and in my flower garden in my yard.
Okay. But we talked a little golf off air. What kind of flower garden specialist are you?
Well, I have peonies. Mm-hmm. I have hostas. Several varieties. I have the corrugated hostas and the regular hostas. Mm. I have tiger lilies. I have hydrangea. I have astilbes. I have a Miss Kim. And I've got a lily plant. I'm not sure if it's a tiger lily, Chad, but I'm not kidding you. It's probably 3.5 feet tall, and it leans forward. It leans towards the sun, and so that's all I got.
Yeah.
And I have prairie grass in several different spots
around
the property.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this something you were interested in before you ended your police work or since when you're looking to fill more of your time?
Well, I have to tell you, I think I got it honestly, Chad, because my grandfather probably could have been a greenskeeper at any PGA Tour golf course because he was fastidious about his lawn. And I think I
did. He put pressure on his neighbors too because his lawn looked so good.
No, he would just do it for them. He would. He's the only man I know who wore out a set of wheels on a Toro, and you know those are thick, hard plastic wheels.
Yep.
And
I was on a ground screw for 4 or 5 years in college.
No, he was serious about it, and I think I got it from him. You know, things skip a generation, but I've just always liked a well-manicured lawn.
Okay. Does the bride help? Does the bride want to help? Do you not want her help? I mean, how does that play?
She does the flowers. I failed to mention that we also have rios, which are very beautiful, blooming, colorful flowers, tropical. It's got green leaves. And so all the rain
That's
this
a
year
heck
has
of
helped.
A setup.
And so she's, she does the flower work outside, but nobody gets to walk on my front lawn, and so I anything in front, that's all me.
That's all you.
Yep.
Okay. What do you miss about your former job, and what in particular don't you miss?
I miss the people that I worked with and for. I miss the people that I served. I missed all of, well, I should say I miss, not missed. I miss the people that I made all those connections with that helped us do our work at a very difficult time when police community relations were basically circling the drain. So I miss all of those people. I don't miss my phone ringing at 2 in the morning. I don't miss having to have two phones. I don't miss some of the personnel challenges, and that's no affront to any of the people because I had a fantastic staff, but people come with their personal issues, right? We're human.
Yeah,
we all
sure.
have those.
Right.
And you have to manage those when you're running an organization. And so I don't particularly miss that, but I miss the relationships and the interaction and just kind of goofing around the water cooler and being able, I think what I miss most is being able to say yes when my staff came to me with an idea or something that they wanted to do or they proposed to help make us more efficient and more accessible to the community because I'm that guy. If it makes sense, let's do it. And if it doesn't work, then we can reverse course and start over. But I miss being able to say yes. But I'm proud that I left the situation better than I found it. I actually just played golf with my successor and the new assistant chief, who was my number three at the time.
Well, that's a testament
weekend.
Right there.
So,
if they've kept that continuity going.
They have.
Okay, what did they say to you about St. Cloud and police work from what you can share with us?
That things are going well and that they miss me, which almost moves me to tears. They say thank you for leaving things better than I found them. And I say we.
I say
we left things
a lot
better
of people, right?
Than we found them, and that's makes me feel good, man. I'm getting a little more contemplative, Chad. You know, as we get older, that happens.
I hear that in your voice.
And you know, my sister. I have four older sisters, which means I grew up with five mothers. But my sister was like, "Okay, stop with the humility. Do you realize what you did?" And yeah, I'm like, "No, I wasn't doing it for accolades or for parades or for praise or whatever." You know, I was doing it because it was the right thing to do, and that's how we were raised. As corny as that sound, and my one sister that I'm closest to always says, "Okay, fine, cut the BS. Do you realize what you've done?"
Yeah, a lot.
And so I have to say, yes, and I'm very grateful, and appreciative, and proud.
This is Blair Anderson on this show a lot. Former St. Cloud police chief. We're going to get into our first topic after the break is going to be the lengthy story that Ryan Faircloth and Jeff Day wrote about what was taking place with the police on the morning, middle of the night, when Vance Belter was looking to kill as many people as he did, and the horrifying murders of Mark Hortman, Melissa Hortman, almost killing the Hoffman family and who knows how many other people. Last thing, Blair, before we pause here. You've had opportunities since you stepped away. Did you come close to taking any of those?
Unequivocally, no.
No.
I'm fine. And there's been a couple of inquiries here lately.
Yeah.
And they may have caught me on the right day. Where I was considering it, but I have not heard back. And when I do,
so,
I probably would say no.
Okay, so these ones piqued your interest a little bit?
Because they caught me on the right day.
Okay.
And it would be sort of an interim thing, but no, I have no more interest. I Chad, to be honest.
How old are you?
58.
58. You look tremendous.
Thank you very much. I'm trying to keep up with you, my friend.
Passed me a long time ago.
I honestly don't believe I have any more to give.
Okay.
In that regard. And again, that's not me being obsequious, Chad. I think I left it all out there. And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I am. One of my friends, my colleagues, Booker Hodges, the chief in Brooklyn Park.
We have Booker on this show. Bloomington. He's really good.
That's my man.
Yeah.
He's one of mine. I hired him at Dakota County, and he calls, and we talk a lot. And he called me about 18 months into my retirement, Chad, and he said, you know, you've passed retirement. And I said, what does that mean exactly? He's like, you're not looking for a job. You don't want a job. And I said, no,
mm-hmm.
I'm good. If I wanted to keep doing what I was doing, I would have stayed where I was.
Yeah,
it was the
you
perfect
had a very
situation.
Good spot, right?
We had a good situation there. So.
All right, let's come back and continue the dialogue with St. Cloud Police Chief Blair Anderson, the former police chief. I will look at your text. You have questions to ask Blair on something that strikes your mind or one of the topics we're going to discuss. You can text us at any point. 651-461-9226. I'm going to tell you about how I started the day today. Not feeling the greatest, including the sore throat, the summer sore throat. Not good. So I went downstairs, found that Kinetico drinking water system, and had not one but two big glasses of water because I've worked with Aquarius Home Services. AquariusHomeServices.com, since I first purchased a home, 1993. Now, Aquarius started 1987. Family-owned company. They love to say, earning the right to be recommended. The water is great. We all need to drink a lot of water, especially, oh, goody, we're going to have another heat warning. Oh, goody, it's going to be 90 again. Drink water. But they're more than that. How about the water softener? How about you want that shower to turn out? You want your clothes to turn out the way you want them? How about your dishwasher? How about just go to that utility room? Take a look at your utility room. You're thinking, does Aquarius do that? Oh, yeah, they do. Aquarius is involved in all aspects of your home, condo, and they are reliable. They are professional. Worth checking them out. Do it right now. AquariusHomeServices.com. We continue our dialogue, our conversation with our friend Blair Anderson, the former St. Cloud Police Chief. Very good reporting by Jeff Day and Ryan Faircloth over the weekend from the Star Tribune, looking in greater detail how the police reacted to this deranged maniac, Vance Belter, as he attempted to kill John, Yvette, and Hope Hoffman, then drove over to at least two other legislators' homes, eventually found his way to the Hortmans, as we know now, killed Mark and Melissa Hortman, killed their dog, Gilbert. And I do not want to be the person who says any after-action report, if there's a minor discrepancy, if I can sit here at 12:23 in the studio wearing a T-shirt and shorts, well, they should have done this. I get it. When all this is happening so fast. But I still think it's fair, especially with somebody as skilled as you, Blair, to ask some of these questions, because this is now Belt arrives at the Hoffman's house at 2:05. They are searching and trying to track his whereabouts. And at 3:35 a.m. in Brooklyn Park, the city you live in, two Brooklyn Park officers arrived at the Hortman's residence. The officers fired at Belter as they watched him shoot Mark Hortman. Okay? Muzzle flashes from Belter inside the home lit up the entryway. I'm just going to read right from the story. Despite the gunfire, officers did not enter the home until an hour and 3 minutes later. Source familiar with the drone footage said, Hortman is shown immobile and curled up on the landing at the top of the stairs. This is alluding to Melissa Hortman. There is a discussion on this. A senior law enforcement official who spoke in condition anonymity and has been in several active shooting situations. This was not a situation that called for de-escalation, but fit the description of an active shooter, which meant the officers should have gone into the house to confront Belter. I mean, we think about this a few years back with the horrible Uvalde shooting at the school and the debate on that. when you hear these details, as a man with your experience, you think what?
Let me start with this, Chad. I'll be honest, I need to hear more because the people who wrote that story were not there. And the first thing that came to my mind is something that the general public doesn't see all day long, which happens, which is whichever police officer from Brooklyn Park had the forethought to go, okay, we've had a state legislator and his wife shot in our city, and we know that we have another one that lives nearby,
mm-hmm.
and they went there.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the kind of police work the general public doesn't see, and I'm not trying to evade your question, but if they saw a muzzle flash in the house and they fired in the house, okay. That's fantastic. That's what you're supposed to do. Everybody can be a Monday morning quarterback, but the Brooklyn Park Police Department, in my opinion, as a citizen of that city, and that happened less than 2 miles from my home, did a fantastic job. Because before, if I have my timeline right, he made it from the first house to the Hortmans. They had already sent out a code red alert, which is similar to an Amber Alert,
mm-hmm.
telling all the residents in and around that area to shelter in place.
Another part when an officer actually confronts Belter outside Ann Rest's house, which I want to get to, right? And I know you're going to be honest with me, and I know you believe in these folks, but if you see a shooting as you're arriving at 3:35, should you wait an hour and 3 minutes? Because it sounds like, and they have the times from a time step. It sounds like part of the debate is Belter in the home, and they're waiting for the drones to kind of give them more information. I'm not expecting instantly you're just going to go right in, because God knows how many weapons he has. How many people are with him? He could have 5 or 6 people. We know now it was just him. But a part of me just wants to ask you, is an hour and 3 minutes too long?
Chad, that's a really hard question. I need an easier question.
Yeah.
Because, again, we weren't there. And if they saw a muzzle flash and they put heat down range in that direction, I don't know, Chad. I need to read the full after-action report to give you an honest assessment mm-hmm. of that. And I will, and I can. But right now, I this is the first that I've heard.
Yeah,
that it took them an hour and what did you say? Hour and 3 minutes to go in the house.
Yeah.
But what I was left with was the initial report was he fired upon the officer that responded. Mm-hmm. They returned fire and he escaped out the back.
Right.
And so there was no timeline for that.
And they didn't know that at the time. When they waited for the drone to try to get more people there and understand, they didn't realize he'd escaped out the back.
Right.
They would find that out. And that's why it's very easy for me to say, okay, if you know all this information, how difficult is that to determine whether you're in a de-escalating situation or an active shooting situation?
Well, that part's easy, Chad. If you see muzzle flash, we're not de-escalating.
Yeah.
We're neutralizing a threat.
Right.
Right. That part is easy.
Which is the push to say you go in sooner, right?
Yes. If it's me. But again, I wasn't there.
Yep.
And so I don't know all the variables.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Chad, if I pull up on a house and I see muzzle flash in the house, yeah, I'm going in.
Yeah.
But I need way more information than
what is
chronicled in that article.
There is another part. So again, Belter goes to the Hoffman's house, and word is getting out. And among the homes a police officer is checking on is Ann Rest in New Hope. Again, not far from where you live. And this is the part I raised a couple times, where an officer, they don't identify him or her, but a 12-year vet approaches Belter, okay, in this quasi-police vehicle, tries to engage with Belter. Belter says nothing. And at least from Jeff and Ryan's reporting, there was no communication about that. Now, they don't know if it was just a decision to not communicate it or if it was all the lines were tied up because so much is happening. But that struck me as odd, that I'm seeing someone else in another police vehicle and this person just staring straight ahead. And you or another police officer comes up and trying to enter, what are you seeing? What's been going on? What is your role here? And nothing is said.
And you're not going anywhere.
Yeah,
if that's me. Yo, no, that one's a little bit easier.
And yep.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere until I get to the bottom of what it is I'm seeing.
Yeah. When you look back at all of this with your experience, is there a question that you have that jumps out at the top to you?
The last scenario you described was the only one. But again, Chad, it's so hard when you're not there.
Yep.
And others chronicle the details for you. I would love to read the reports that all of the officers who were involved have filed,
mm-hmm.
because that will paint a much more detailed picture than an article. And that's no affront to journalists or to reporters, but Chad,
they put in some pretty good work here with timestamps and talking.
Understood,
to people.
Chad, but right. That's different than being there.
Yep.
If you're not there,
okay,
you cannot capture what is going on with words.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, with sentences, with paragraphs. You have to be there on the scene, because here's one of the things that happens when you're in a critical incident. And again, the general public doesn't know this, and they shouldn't. But your auditory senses slow down, Chad, and things happen seemingly in slow motion, but they're actually happening much faster.
Yeah.
Much faster.
For sure.
And so it's easy, you know, for us or for others, and that's okay, but it's not, to say, well, why didn't you do this, or how come you did that, or whatever. You weren't there. If you've never been shot at, I'm sorry, Chad, raise the questions, and I don't mean you personally, I just mean period. If you've never been shot at or had to shoot at somebody else, just reserve the judgment until everything comes out.
Well, that's where I'm wrestling. That's why I tried to say at the start, I do not want to be the person who has never faced that but knows a number of police officers, some as well as you, and great respect. Doesn't mean every officer is great. We've talked about that many times. They're like every position. There's some who aren't equipped for it. I don't want to be the person saying, well, if you didn't do everything just precisely exactly right, then it was incompetence. But I do think it is fair to have after-action reports, not only just from the officers themselves, but from others, to ask fair but probing and important questions that, if God forbid, any of these officers or other cities see something somewhat comparable, that we learn a little bit more.
And I don't disagree with you. I am 100% on board with you on that, because that is how we learn. That's the reason we do after action reports.
Yep.
Because we dissect those things to learn for the next incident, because there will be another incident.
Yep.
And you know, whatever we can do to mitigate some of the things that we may not have done as well as we should have, that's what those are for. And I don't have a problem with the probing questions. I really don't. That's why I said I'm not. When I say you, I don't mean you personally.
I know that. Yep.
Anybody has the right to ask those questions. But man, it's like Mike Tyson said, and I'm not trying to make light of this. Everybody has a plan till they get hit in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about gunfire.
When that adrenaline surge and all this is happening, your life's on the line, others' life on the line.
You don't
have time to say, hold on, I got to go to my book here.
No.
Yeah, I mean.
You don't. It's instinctive, yep. Which is why I praise the Brooklyn Park officer who went, Melissa Hortman and her family live a mile from here.
Right.
Let me go and do a welfare check over there.
Right.
And that's where he encountered the gunman. And so save for that kind of police work, there could have been a lot more carnage. And so that comes to mind for me
Sure, absolutely.
And they should be praised for that, because things could have gotten way out of hand, Chad. I was at DEFCON 5, a mile away, and I got a shelter in place, Chad. I placed a firearm on every level of my house, and I'm not a gun aficionado, but I'm armed.
Let me hold on that, because we're already late. I want to hold on how that was for you, knowing that's unfolding as close as you were. This is former St. Cloud Police Chief Blair Anderson. He's tremendous. As always, you want to react, you can in any way through a text, 651-461-9226. We'll get to the Lindsey Brown bumper music theme in a little bit. Okay, this is unfolding, as you said, and I'll get to a lot of texts. I appreciate the texts coming in. This is unfolding very close to your home. You are aware. Were you aware because you were just paying attention, or were you aware because people in law enforcement reach out to you, or both?
I was aware because we got the code red alert, which, as I said, is like an amber alert. And so my phone woke me up.
Yep.
And when I see shelter in place at 2:30 in the morning or whatever time it was, I'm going, okay, what's going on? And then you get the area that's covered, and I'm going, well, that's less than 2 miles from here.
Yeah.
And so obviously I'm not going back to sleep.
No.
So I'm up, and I just started fortifying, for lack of a better word, my own property, because they hadn't found this guy. And then I found myself walking, patrolling my neighborhood.
Is your bride awake at this point? Is she asleep?
Well, she was by then.
Yeah,
because I woke her up, and I may or may not have had multiple firearms in my possession, but I just wanted to walk my area, not just around the perimeter of my property, but my neighborhood, to see what I could see and possibly be of some assistance to Brooklyn Park and the surrounding agencies, because all hands were on deck at that point. They're looking for this guy or this assailant, whoever he is.
Let me read some of the text here. Few quality people want to be police officers because of the past 5 years to fund the police. What you're left with are officers not brave enough or smart enough to manage dangerous situations. I had 30 years on the job and recently retired. What do you want to say to that text?
That's unfair. That's unfair.
Yeah.
The vast majority of men and women out there, and you've heard me say this multiple times and I will keep saying it, are doing the job the right way for the right reasons.
And are very good at what they do.
And very good at what they do. And I just don't, I disagree wholeheartedly with that. It's like any other discipline, Chad. It's not for everybody. And some people don't figure that out until they're, maybe a handful of years into their career, or until they have a critical incident and realize that, there are plenty of people who leave law enforcement after a critical incident like this. There's a reason why our suicide rate is as high as it is. It's not just the stress of the job. It's also things like this. So, no, from a 30-year veteran, I have more questions for that person. What kind of police officer were you? And I don't like to challenge anybody, especially on your show, on your platform. But that's unfair.
You know, it reminds me a little bit of when we discuss topics involving parenting. And individuals who are a little bit older, or God forbid they're around our age. I mean, I've been saying a little bit older. Now we're around that age. Well, my kids never did that. No, my kids, I disciplined them and they're flawless. I'm like, get out of here.
Yeah.
If
just didn't tell you all the things we were doing.
If your kids were that flawless, it was a lot of nature versus nurture, right? There are just sometimes people, because they did something, and thank you for doing it, parenting, police work, whatever it might be, where they almost look at themselves, they're genuflecting themselves. Oh, my God, I was amazing. And I don't doubt we have some people in police who, under incredibly difficult circumstances, he or she's not the ideal person. But there are significantly more who are, right? And so that's a little bit of the game. Now, here's one on our back and forth. where this person is saying, sounding a little too sensitive to scrutiny of police actions from a former police officer, that is shameful. The public deserves the answers to questions. What do you want to say to that? Some of these folks are going at you.
Was that directed to me?
That's you.
Please read that again.
Okay, sorry. I'm going to read that again, right? Sounding a little too sensitive to scrutiny of police actions from a former police chief, that is shameful. The public deserves answers to questions.
And the public will get answers, but once again, if you've never worked a shift, I'd be careful about the judgment that you pass. You know, we're here, we're public servants, we're here for scrutiny, and when we get things wrong, it is incumbent upon us to say that and to make improvements to do right. But, okay, guess what? It's a free country, but shameful. You know, there are a lot of things I'd like to say to that, but I can't because of the FCC. And
Lindsay's
you know
on
me,
the button.
No, you know me well enough, and yeah. I won't stoop to that level. But shameful, shame on that person for saying that. Again, You've never been shot at. You've never had to shoot at someone else. You've never had to take a human life, and that's fine. Because we don't get drafted. We sign up for this.
You select the profession.
We do. And so don't, you know, this ain't football. You can Monday morning quarterback football all you want, but this is life and death. Because there are situations where we can do everything right, just like the book says, Chad, and somebody dies. So, I can't suffer that kind of foolishness. And, you know, those are people, I think, just trying to get a reaction. But that, to me, that's just not fair. It has nothing to do with sensitivity. It has to do with equity. It has to do with me having sat in that chair and having to ferret through those situations and critical incidents and decide, all right, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? What can we do better?
And accepting, too, that other people who have informed information in an after-action report, might, if it was your department, bring you in and say, okay, Blair, we know this isn't easy, but you knew this. Thank you for doing this. But we want to go through this, and you might face some difficult questions.
And have.
Yeah, I'm sure many times.
Which is the reason why I'm standing so firmly on this, because I have. To my point, when we don't get everything right, or when we do screw up, it is incumbent upon us to be transparent and say that. But, you know, it goes with the territory, Chad. And guess what? I would still walk into traffic for that person who made that comment. That
thank you.
My comments were shameful
yep.
because that's what I chose to do.
I want to get to ICE and the wearing of masks, because this topic is still really big in this debate. With the push by the Trump administration, which initially was just going to be a criminal side, and clearly has moved to everyday individuals who they believe and sometimes correctly are here undocumented, but how these individuals have been apprehended is a big debate in this country. This is the former police chief of the city of St. Cloud, Blair Anderson, with us. Blair could go to stretch lab. I need to go to stretch lab. Maybe that's why my golf is so miserable right now. Maybe that's why I want to hunt down old Tom Morris, take him from the grave, and run him over. That's why I want to go get you old Tom Morris. I need to stretch more at stretchlab.com. They are an amazing place, and they can help you out whether you're 58, you're 60. How old are you, Lindsay?
33 and I need help.
33 and needs help. How about 12 and you need help? How about you're fit? Blair, fit right there. Even you could stretch a little bit more, Blair Anderson.
Why did he use my age and not his own?
I'm only 32. I don't know about you folks here. You're much older than me. They have double figures in locations. Blair is playing good golf. You want to hit that golf ball a little bit further? Go to Stretch Lab. You want to run a little quicker. You want to wake up and not step out of the bed and go, ow, come on. Stretchlab.com, 25-minute sessions, 50-minute sessions. Check them out, stretchlab.com. Blair just acknowledged he likes ketchup. This will be Blair Anderson, the former St. Cloud Police Chief's final appearance on the show. Honestly, I thought we were friends. I thought we had developed a very good relate ketchup lover. Well, oh, my
we,
God.
We had, Chad, but yeah. It's difficult to consort with communists.
Yeah.
If you don't like ketchup.
It's taste. Where does Blair Anderson, a former member of law enforcement, stand on ICE arriving to a scene where they're going to arrest individuals? Maybe it's a business, maybe it's a school, maybe it's a grocery store, wherever it might be, where the ICE officers themselves are wearing masks, and the belief is, not the belief, their contention is from the administrators that if they don't, they will be targeted, they will be doxxed, and they will be put in peril, and that's why they're wearing masks.
Goes back to what we were saying, Chad. They weren't drafted, and so why are you hiding? What do you need a mask on for? How would we feel if our local police officers rode around with masks on for fear of being targeted? It's absurd. And, you know, the other problem I have, and we went through this when I was in St. Cloud during Trump's first term, where they wanted local police agencies to assist ICE.
Well, they still do.
And doing these roundups, right?
Right. But, yep.
But there are some of us who refused.
Yeah.
And their retort was that they threatened those jurisdictions with
funding,
withholding
right.
federal funding, mostly for infrastructure, for roads. And again, we had a great mayor in St. Cloud, and so that didn't even
faze us.
Wasn't
going there. No,
we're not going there. And, Chad, I remember after the mall stabbing, the very first question I was asked by a Fox News reporter after they played me a soundbite from then-candidate Trump, that, and I have to paraphrase, that all of the Hispanics coming in from Mexico were criminals and rapists. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Well, he still says that. All the countries, what they do is they let out their mental institutions
right.
out of jails. It couldn't just be people who have lived in this country for years, decades, and just see no hope and try to come here. And I get we can't just say everybody's in. Absolutely not. I was highly critical
Agreed.
Of Joe Biden and how open.
Agreed.
But the idea that they're all coming here and they're all criminals is just right. insulting.
And so they it was insulting to anybody with a half ounce of brains. It was stunning to my intelligence. And so they played that soundbite, Chad, the day after the mall stabbing, and we're running the gauntlet of media. Long story short, and then they asked, "What's your reaction?" And I remember something my father told me many times, son. Before you say or do anything, think about if it's going to make the situation better or worse.
Yeah. In your profession at the time, that's a tough one to always have the patience.
And I took a beat, and I'm not saying this to get pats on the back, but I took a beat and I thought, and my response was, my job is public safety. It's not immigration policy, period. And that went a long way. And I meant it. But I resented the fact that they were asking me that question. So that's a really long answer. I've gone all around John's barn just to say that I don't understand why they need to have masks on. Well, I don't understand why they're doing the roundups. There are a myriad of ways that we can tackle this issue.
So we got a hard break in a minute.
That's a fear tactic to me.
If you're someone and you're at a grocery store, and someone comes up and they're not identified because some of these folks are not wearing anything ICE. And they have a mask and they just throw you somewhere. You're thinking this is law enforcement at this point? You have no idea what you're thinking at this point. You're fearful you just were kidnapped. Right?
Understood.
And I do not want any of the individuals to be targeted. They're doing their job. They're doing what they're told to do. But on the other end, and some are criminals, some are just everyday citizens, some are documented citizens too. I don't think you should be wearing a mask. All right, we got to go. I just want to thank you again for your friendship, for everything you do and coming on this show, and your amazing work in law enforcement. I mean it. You're a great friend, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Chad. It's always a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you for having me, and get me a job here sweeping the floors or something so I can get into radio. I love it.
Blair Anderson will be hosting the show soon. Actually, you could be a great fill-in. That might happen. CBS, Mark Fry, and Patrick Ricey next hour.